This is the Ethanol Report. Corn growers are extremely concerned about the impact measuring indirect land use change may have on the future of not only corn ethanol, but the production of the crop in general. The National Corn Growers Association hosted a conference on land use and carbon impacts of corn-based ethanol in St. Louis to highlight the problems associated with trying to measure something that is based on assumptions and unproven science. NCGA Director of Biofuels and Business Development Jamie Klein says what's being done on both the national level and the state level in California could have far-reaching implications for agriculture and biofuels, especially when models use outdated statistics.
And the key thing we want to do is to have agribusiness and other folks start actually asking the questions, are these assumptions correct? Do we have the latest and greatest updated analysis? Because a lot of times, for instance, some of the models are based on an 01 to 04, some of them based on even older information. We find that our scores improve dramatically when we update that information in a real-life modern agriculture situation. If we can increase communication and get the latest information to the modelers and hopefully also work with the modelers to show agriculture as it really happens in the field, then I think we've accomplished our purpose.
NCGA CEO Rick Tolman says using unproven methods of measuring indirect land use change may result in accomplishing the opposite of what we're trying to do with our energy usage as a nation.
We started out the renewable fuel standard and the whole legislation that was put forth in 2007 as a nation trying to reduce our reliance on imported oil and address energy security. And there were some other things. We wanted to improve the environment. We wanted to lower prices to consumers, build jobs, that kind of thing. And we had some arcane language put in there that said, we'll take a look at indirect land use change and its implications and as an unintended consequence. And really what we think, there's an unintended consequence of the unintended consequence, which may be because of this arcane language that we may, in fact, start using more imported oil because this language, we have regulation that exceeds our ability to measure. So we wanted to shine some light on that arcane language and what's happening because of this rule.
Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association says determining the carbon footprint of ethanol is a fairly simple process, which shows a benefit to using ethanol over gasoline, until the inexact science of indirect land use change is thrown into the mix.
We've been analyzing the carbon footprint of ethanol from corn for 15 or 20 years based on the direct emissions, meaning what is the energy and the related greenhouse gas emissions required to plant the corn, to harvest it, to transport it to an ethanol facility, to convert it to ethanol, and then distribute it to the marketplace. That entire life cycle, those emissions are fairly well known, and using the GREET model, we've been able to estimate that corn ethanol reduces greenhouse gases somewhere in the order of 25% to 40% relative to gasoline. But what we're seeing now with the inclusion of indirect emissions, this life cycle is now including emissions from indirect land use change. And that's where a lot of the differences in opinion and the differences in methodologies and the different models are really coming to the fore, because it's a virtually new area of study and certainly new to a regulatory framework. You know, using these models for these purposes involves lots of subjective decisions and judgment calls. When you put that in the context of a regulation, that's problematic.
California's low carbon fuel standard is an example of how the indirect land use change penalty will have the unintended consequence of eliminating the use of corn ethanol after next year. And the EPA is using similar modeling for the renewable fuels standard. NCGA's Tolman hopes they can get policymakers to understand that the regulations they're attempting to put in place are beyond the current ability of science to determine.
What concerns me is the regulations are in place, and so people are responding to regulations. What happened in California has happened. Now we have one more shot at that next year where they're going to re-review their rules and regulations, but if those don't change, ethanol's gone. Biofuels are gone in California, and many states follow California's rules. The rule passed in the federal legislation in 2007, unless we can go in and get that changed, it is there. That's a requirement. So, you know, in terms of our body of knowledge, I feel good about that. We're getting to understand what this means and what the implications are. In terms of the regulations in place, that's still a huge challenge.
An even greater concern may be looming in the climate change bill currently being considered in Congress. And Bart Schott, a corn grower from North Dakota, says producers need to stay informed about this complex issue that no one truly seems to understand.
We had our Corn Congress in Washington, D.C. this summer, and on several of the Hill visits, you know, when you mention the climate bill and indirect land use, and, you know, the staffers were kind of confused about it, and so we offered our expertise through National Corn Growers, and they're very receptive to looking to us for information on how to deal with the situation in the Senate, because the House has already passed the climate change bill.
The corn growers are hoping to provide additional information about corn yields and the potential for increases in production, as well as the value of ethanol co-products such as dried distillers grains, which should be factored into the life cycle analysis of ethanol. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.